The text of our message is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 37 to 44. Matthew 24, 37 to 44. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken. I like to read this verse once again, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I would like to draw attention that the topic of my message today is oriented to his coming in our lifetime. Not like a professor explaining this verse in these very times, when we really feel and we can sense the nearness of his coming. And he said, you must be ready now, or he may come 100 years later on. But when he adds 100 years later, then that gives us a lot of relaxation. If it's 100 years later, then why should he watch? I'm grateful for the three messages on the end times delivered from this pulpit by Dr. Jeffrey Poole during my absence ministering in other churches. And in order to close these three messages with the final one, I have chosen this topic today. Now there are two types of people that will be caught unawares when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. The first type are the Gentiles, like those living in the time of Noah. And Noah preached to them 120 years about the flood coming, but none of them believed. And they were having a good time, marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, until that day when Noah entered the ark and the door was closed and the flood came. All of them, except Noah and his family, were carried away by the flood. This refers generally to the people outside who have not heard the gospel, they do not know anything about flood or the second coming of Christ. And how many there are, the great proportion are these who have not heard the gospel. Isn't there a duty for us to tell them? The second type are the scoffers. They know very well the doctrine. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, they just laugh at you. You have been saying Christ is coming, but where is He? The creation to this day, from the times of our ancestors till now, has been going on. So where is the second coming? When destruction struck New York and the Pentagon, that very Sunday I preached, this is the beginning of the end. The fellow minister laughed at me and said, I was trying to make the people afraid. I was trying to scare them. Such a remark borders on those who have been scoffing. But I want you to be of the special category that we are those who are watchful, and we can sense the nearness is coming with good reason. As Jesus states here, that if the good man of the house, if the master of the house can sense what time in the night the thief would be coming, then he would be prepared that when the thief comes, he is stopped. And it is a good illustration that those of us who in our lifetime have sensed the nearness of His coming and we are prepared, when He comes, it will be no surprise, but we'll be so happy to meet Him. How do we know that His coming is so near? We can know particularly by the modern prophecies. In the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there were many prophecies that were fulfilled. But in the second coming, there are even more prophecies. And these prophecies are fulfilled in our time, in the days in which we live. And there are three passages of scripture that I would allude to and show you that truly our Savior is standing at the threshold of the door, about to enter. The first passage I would like you to turn to is Zechariah chapter 12. Turn backwards from Matthew, the New Testament, two books into the Old Testament, and find Zechariah in chapter 12. And here it says, Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3. Turn backwards from Matthew, two books, and you find Zechariah. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now, jump to verse 9. it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Up to here. You know that the United States is now training all its resources to attack Osama and the Taliban government that shelters him in Afghanistan. So President Bush has specially warned on the Palestinians and the Jews that you people keep quiet. Keep quiet at least for this moment and do not fight. But the truce could not be held for even 48 hours. And then Jews were killed in Hebron, and Ariel Sharon, the Prime Minister of Israel, naturally could not hold it, and so he retaliates. And it is escalating again. Well, we pray that they may subside. But there is the higher hand of God behind it. In fact, the peace in Palestine and Jerusalem and the Jews are an indicator of the nearness of His coming. It is already predicted that they will now fight and fight, and there will be no end. At least, this is fulfilling in our time. Those who come to bring trouble to Jerusalem will themselves be burdened. Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone upon those who attack it. The basic problem is that while the Palestinians are fighting for independence, they also claim Jerusalem belongs to them and has nothing got to do with the Jews. They already hold the property of the Temple Mount with the building of the Mosque of Omar over the old temple site. So that when Ariel Sharon purposely made a visit to test, he was being set upon or chased out, and war started from there. And it has already gone on for 1 year, with maybe about 600 Palestinians killed. And this figure is mounting higher and higher. The Jews maybe have less than 200. The fact is that there is a hand of God over Jerusalem, and it is reserved for His own people, and it will be the place where Jesus Christ, His Son, comes back to earth, will sit on the throne of Jerusalem, of His father David, to rule the earth for 1,000 years. Living in these times where these things are fulfilled, don't you think that things are moving, it is nearer than you think? Now, the second passage of scripture which I referred the other week to you, it is good for us to revise, for we are so soon to forget it, is Revelation chapter 9. We know three passages to know that these things most probably will happen in our lifetime. Revelation 9:13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Four means universalism. Four angels involve the whole world of armies, and they are let loose at the great river Euphrates, and they were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year, this day that the final war will break out is predetermined and cannot be altered, to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, 200 million. And I heard the number of them. This is the last war. And Dr. Walbert, President Emeritus of Dallas Seminary, USA, in his book, identified this to be the Third World War. And the Euphrates is Iraq. Syria and Iraq, well, Syria might join Iraq, I don't know, but the main country where the Euphrates flows is Iraq. August 1990, the war broke out in Iraq when they tried to capture Kuwait to get the oil. And they were defeated. But this mentions the last time. Is it not two or a confirmation? If it happens again, it all the more confirms what God has predetermined. The very fact that now the war is breaking out in Afghanistan, by tonight you might hear the news that bombs are rained down. But if you look at the map, Afghanistan, and then next of it is Iran to the northeast, and on this side is Iraq. We do not know how this whole situation of fighting terrorism will end. It is a very complicated matter. If the Muslim nations will declare jihad, and since a Muslim nation is attacked, you do not know how alignment of forces will be. But while the world is hoping for better times, and with the injection of more money into the system, all over the world are hoping that USA will recover soon. This one thing I know, the world cannot be getting better but worse. It is not the theory and the doctrine of evolution that somehow things will get better. But the Bible tells us things will get worse and worse. There was a period of phony peace between the First World War and the Second World War, namely 21 years, 1918 to 1939. The Second World War ended 1945, and now is 2001, 56 years also of phony peace. Well, I calculated this figures. And after the Bible camp in May of the Life Church, when we had the topic, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, and I preached three prophetic messages. Well, I could have forgotten about it, but when we came back, I had the urge all the time, put it on paper under the title, "It is Nearer Than You Think." I published a book in August. 1 month later, September the 11th, the crash came to New York and Washington. Therefore, the feeling that the world was getting worse and worse. How could it last for many more years than 56 years? Has come true. Don't you think that the Third World War can happen in our lifetime? Now, nobody likes to hear this news, but it's a reality that you can calculate from the scripture how near it is. And the third passage of scripture is found in Revelation chapter 16, which I referred to earlier, and it's good to revise, where it says, 16:12. Now the sixth angel, not sounding the trumpet, but poured out his vial, a bowl of wrath, upon the great river Euphrates. Again, that is on Iraq. And the water thereof was dried, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now the alignment is, those forces in the east are now aligned together. And they cross the river, and you come to verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth, and he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together to in a place in the Hebrew called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So from Iraq they advance to Armageddon. And Armageddon is a Greek spelling for the Hebrew Har Megiddo, which means hill of slaughter. And this marks the plain south of Haifa. From time immemorial, all armies invading the south will come through this place. And this is a matter of 780 miles to Jerusalem. And the Battle of Armageddon will have its grand finale in Jerusalem. And 2/3 of Israel will be killed. And all those that attack Jerusalem, all the nations, we have seen it in verse 9 of Zechariah chapter 12, God will destroy them. Can this happen in our lifetime? It is very probable. That's why we are orientated to his coming in our lifetime as a very sound and logical preparation to be watchful for his second coming. I'm not saying that 100% sure it will happen. I'm saying it is very, very probable. And not as the professor said, oh, it may be 100 years more. Why doesn't he see the ominous situation with Iraq waiting in the wings? When this evidence was presented to the U.S. government by Israel of Iraq's involvement, the hawks, the warring party, would include Iraq to be bombed and to be attacked. But then somehow it fizzled out because politics determined that it is not profitable to engage Iraq now, but to tackle Afghanistan first. That's why the newspaper slightly mentioned it and it's no more. Anyway, it shows us that things are very, very near. And according to the principle that things are waxing worse and worse, what hope are you still holding to? So what shall we do as we are orientated to the So it's coming during our lifetime. I've got 2 points to bring out. The first one is that you do not try to make more money, to become more famous, and go for the things of the world. This was what happened to Baruch, the secretary of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had been preaching for 40 years of war coming. And this was really the eve of the attack by the Babylonians. But since the war came intermittently, Baruch thought there was a good chance that he might become great as somebody. And he was thinking of worldly things. But Jeremiah loved him because he was his secretary. Seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not, because a war is coming. And if you want to listen to me, serve the Lord more fervently in the position you are in, and I will reward you with your life. In other words, I'll protect you that when the war comes, you will not be hurt. I think that is the best price. In troublous times, you don't say, I got money, I got education, I got influence. When the Japanese came in the Second World War, all the rich people became poor overnight. All those with high degrees, educationists, professionals, they were left alone, wearing chakia, with their short pants, walking around, no job. And all those who were British subjects and were more influential were evacuated by ship. But the Japanese bombers overtook them in the sea, and many ships were bombed. And I know of one very famous doctor too, Dr. Chen Su Lan. Well, he had fallen into the sea and was saved. And he came back by the grace of God. But that was practically the end of his career. Are you planning to make your million still? Or rather that you should serve the Lord more faithfully? I had a deacon in the former Life Church, Prinsep Street, and was preaching on the coming of Christ. And he came and said to me, please don't preach on the second coming of Christ, because I'm going to Melbourne to start a branch store. The next year he died. So all our plannings, if Christ doesn't come to us, we might have to go and see him. And now the second point I'd like to make is that after describing all the things that happened with war breaking out, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Insofar as the church is concerned, we must redouble our efforts to tell the good news. The only way of salvation is our Lord Jesus Christ. The politicians may do their part, the militaries may carry out the war, but it is the gospel of peace of our Lord Jesus Christ that can give men and women everlasting life. When Christ comes, will you go up? That's called the rapture. There'll be no safe place on earth with all the nuclear bombs. It must be up in space. If you are prepared, you will have this, what is called the blessed hope, and be ready at any moment he will come and snatch us away. May this be my final word so far as this season is concerned on the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see the true values of life. Help us to work for eternity and not for a few brief years and we are gone. In Jesus' name, Amen.